Hello and welcome to Forensic Forecast. My name is Alicia and I'm going to be your host for today. We're having a special episode this week with all female panel, all in the digital forensics field. So welcome to everybody.
And thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah. Brilliant. We'll go through and have each of you introduce yourselves and just maybe tell a little bit about yourselves, how you got into the field and whatever you want the world to know, really. So we'll start with Sarah, if that's all right.
Sure thing.
Brilliant, thanks.
I'm Sarah Edwards. What did you want to know?
Whatever you want people to know. Okay, so how you got into the field.
I'm in the Northern Virginia area, the D.C. metro area. I work for Crucial Security, which is part of Harris Corporation. And I work for federal law enforcement.
Fantastic. Thank you. Malia, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Malia Kelly. I am located in Southern California. I work with First Advantage Litigation Consulting. And a standard disclaimer here, this is anything I say here is my own personal opinion, and you should not blame my bosses for anything that I say.
Good thinking. Good point. Funny on that. Right. Cindy, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Cindy Murphy. I'm a detective with the City of Madison Police Department in Madison, Wisconsin. So for those of you out of the states, the middle of the country. I've been doing computer forensics for 12 or 13 years now, and I've been a cop for 26 years.
Fantastic. Thanks. We've got Stacy. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I am Stacy Edwards. And I work for Vestige Digital Investigations. It's a mouthful to say. I'm in Ohio, and I've been doing this now for close to 3 years.
Fantastic. And last but not least, we've got Krista. Krista, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Krista Miller, and I am in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm a self-employed public relations consultant, and even though I have never been a forensicator, I work with digital forensics firms, large and small. So if you have any questions about communications, ask me.
Great. Thanks. Thanks for introducing yourselves. So we've got five fantastic ladies here this afternoon to have a discussion with, and so let's start a question that we've been asked. What unique challenges do you face as females in the field then? And Krista, even though obviously you're not an actual forensicator, what kind of challenges as well do you see in the field for females in general? So each of you can.
Well, this is Malia. I'll go ahead and throw in there. And one of them is, and I think we've mentioned this before, that we just don't fit the normal profile. And so people tend to automatically make assumptions about, you know, what we do before we even open our mouths. I've been asked before if I was a cook when I was coming on site, things like that. So just kind of, it's funny. And in some ways, it's actually kind of really fun to come back with, no, I'm not a cook, I'm a forensic investigator. So
I think that would be really fun, actually. I think I might actually say, yeah, I'm a cook. I'm here to take orders, actually. What would you like?
What's wrong with being a cook? I wish I could cook, but I can't.
Right. Anybody else have any challenges? There must be more challenges.
This is Cindy. I think that one thing that's been a challenge over the years, but it can also work to your favor, is that often women in this field are underestimated, either for what we know or what we can do or what we're able to accomplish. And so I guess it's easy to surprise people sometimes with your knowledge, but sometimes walking into a situation, you can be less threatening almost. And so it's sometimes easier to gather the information you need to do your job, but it is sometimes frustrating to be underestimated.
Yeah, definitely.
Anybody else get that?
So this is Malia jumping in again. Just kind of along those lines, Cindy mentioned that it actually can be helpful in some ways, and that's absolutely true. And some of the ways I think that it's helpful is when you're working specifically with other females, maybe not in your field, but in other fields that may be more male-dominated, there's kind of an inherent respect for someone else who's in a male-dominated field, and sometimes they come to trust you a lot faster than you might be able to earn that trust from someone who kind of doesn't understand the background that you're coming from.
Yeah, definitely.
On the flip side, though, this is Krista. I sometimes think other women can be harsher critics. Like, they expect more of you. Depending on the personality, if they really feel that that if they have something to prove, they might project that onto you and start, demanding more and being, I don't want to say harsher, but, certainly making their higher expectations known in a way that they don't necessarily do with men.
Yeah. Women are harsh critics anyway, aren't they? And so you see another woman, and there's always a bit of maybe, a bit of competition, maybe, like, who's the best or who can do their job better or whatever, maybe. I don't know.
This is Cindy. I think that's definitely true. I think women's competitiveness is often underestimated, especially if you think about the traditional views of feminine traits versus masculine traits. Our competitiveness is not necessarily something that comes to mind, but I think most women, when it comes right down to it, are pretty competitive.
Yeah, definitely.
It's different for women than it is for men, too, I think. Yeah. Just female competitiveness seems different in some subtle ways. In other ways, it's very much alike.
Yeah.
But think of it this way. Being competitive will also make you a better analyst, too. You know?
This is Cindy. Certainly, I don't think competitiveness is a bad thing. It's just that oftentimes it's unexpected, especially by males.
Exactly. Well, and if you're coming into a situation, this is Krista, and you're expecting to be able to collaborate with a woman who is suddenly being very critical and very competitive, then that can be difficult to sort of wrap your head around and sort of adjust. But I do think that, Sarah, you were right, that competitiveness is, it can help you learn more, it can push you harder, and I think that's also something that we can expect from men, that I have found anyway from watching men compete with each other, is trying to keep up with them is something that can help everybody, as long as it doesn't get too dysfunctional and toxic, because I think that it can definitely go down that road as well.
Yeah. Do you run into women very often in the field? Obviously you run into men all the time, and a female in another field would run into other females in the field, so they'd get used to that, not confrontation, but that, competition, so to speak, with each other. But do you run into other females very often in the field?
Well, this is Sarah, but I can actually say no. There are very few of us out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Stacey. I would definitely agree with that. I mean, I always end up running across men in the field. The only time I really ever run across women in the field is the lawyers that are running the cases, but they're not the other forensic people on the other side.
Yeah.
This is Cindy, or contractors. They're not contractors doing forensics, but contractors working for vendors at conferences. It's really rare to come across other women doing forensics. In my office, there happen to be two. Melanie Hampton is my coworker, and so I'm lucky enough to work with another woman, but it seems like when you look at the field as a whole, it's a rare thing to run into other women who are actually doing forensics.
Yeah, definitely.
This is Malia. I actually kind of wanted to jump in because I think Krista was the one who brought up collaboration. And I think one of the interesting things about being a female in the field is that because we are working with men, as much as we'd like to think that it doesn't change things, by introducing a female element into a team, you are going to change the makeup and kind of the way that things are done, as much as you don't want that to happen. And there are some good things that we can bring to that collaboration. But I think sometimes, in my experience, I sometimes see men trying to be, more careful about what they say around you. There might be kind of a little bit of time where you have to kind of come in, and I don't want to say prove yourself, but it might be a little bit hard to come in and be part of the team, one of the guys, at the outset.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Trying to get people to take you seriously.
Yeah.
Well, even for them to take you not seriously. Sometimes, you know, we do want to be professionals and work with them, but there's a lot to be said about the team environment where you have kind of that repartee and that give and take. Mm-hmm. When you work together, you want to have that kind of back and forth, and that's part of females to get.
I think that's a good point, and sometimes I think it's as much the guy's problem as it is ours. They're less likely to, I mean, there's always this assumption that we're going to be upset if they swear or if they say something, mm-hmm. whatever. you know, I've been in a male-dominated field since I joined the military in 1985, and whether it's combating the impression that another guy should be digging your foxhole for you, which I never wanted, but it was offered many times, or whether it's people who shut off the colorful jokes when you walk into the room, it's hard to fight that and become part of that crowd.
I would imagine as well, I mean, obviously I'm not in the field of forensics, but with Lee being in forensics, I know a tiny bit, and I'd imagine that with the work that you do, you must need that time whenever you're with your colleagues to be able to just completely talk about something different, you know, to be accepted as just a colleague and be able to be included in the jokes, included, you know, if they want to go down to, you know, the bar for lunch and have a drink, be included in all of that, because you must need that downtime just as much as they do. Mm-hmm. And so it's trying to get that balance, isn't it?
Yeah, and I would say, sorry, this is Millie again. The balance is really the hard thing, because you do want to maintain that professional part, and you want to maintain the personal part. And so, yeah, just kind of keeping the teeter-totter even is very interesting.
Yeah.
So it really isn't bad being one of the guys. I mean,
no,
it's almost you're part of a team. You know, yeah. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, definitely.
This is Cindy, absolutely. And there's nobody that understands the frustrations and bad parts of forensics as well as other people who are doing forensics. And so you're right, it's important to be able to fit into that group of people who are doing the same thing at that personal level and not always just at a professional level.
Yeah, definitely. So we've talked about some of the challenges that you face as females in the forensic field. What do you think are some of the benefits then, being a female, you know, in the field of forensics?
This is Stacey. I would say probably one of the benefits I've noticed is going on to client sites. If they send me out there as opposed to one of the other guys on the team, I've almost noticed more of a chance where I can diffuse a situation, where if it might be kind of a bad situation with us walking into it, say it might be the other side and they're hesitant to turn over the computers, I've noticed that the other side is more likely to let us do the imaging of their computers or let us see the information if it's me asking versus if it's one of the guys asking.
Yeah. Anybody else? Is anybody else? Can you think of any other benefits?
I think, this is Cindy, I think as women we bring a completely different perspective to the way we work on cases. Maybe not completely different, but I think there's something about the way women think that works really well for forensics. And I don't know exactly how to put my finger on what characteristics it is, but it's maybe the ability to hold a small piece of information in your brain and bring it up later when you see something else that's related to it, that I don't know, there's some characteristic like that. We stay on a problem until it's solved, and whether we just hold it in our brains for a while until it comes up again and then work on it, or what that is, I'm not sure.
I see what you're saying as well, and I was thinking about what Stacey was saying. I know there's been times when Lee's had to go in and do search and seize, and there's been, you know, a family around, or maybe whenever he's gone with the police, there's been a woman who's doesn't really know what's going on. And I could imagine as a woman myself, if I knocked, or if police had knocked the door, and there was only men there, it'd be very intimidating. Whereas, you know, if a woman was there as well, you might, I don't know, I would imagine maybe she would have a bit more compassion and understanding, and I would feel a lot more comfortable, I think, myself being a woman if that in that situation. So I can see what Stacey's saying, where, you know, if you go to a client's, you know, place of business or their home, and you're having to do that kind of thing, maybe that in itself can be a benefit for working in the field.
This is Cindy Murphy. Again, I mean, I think there are a lot of men out there who are really good at being compassionate to
definitely.
People. And if you think about it, there's a mix of feminine and masculine characteristics in all of us. I just think that sometimes if you get women in law enforcement or in traditional male fields, we're the ones who are more comfortable with all of those different sides of ourselves. I'm competitive and I make no bones about it, and I'm happy about it. Whereas other women who don't choose to be in this field might not be as competitive. After having just said that I think most women down deep are competitive, some of us are less comfortable showing that than others.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. So why do you think the field is so male-dominated then?
Well, this is Sarah. I'll try my comment towards that. I think it's because it's, you know, a subpart of the IT/security/computer fields. I think those have been male dominated for so long that it just makes sense that forensics is male dominated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And maybe part of it is that it goes back to gender roles that are assumed when we're little kids. You know, boys are assumed to be more technically interested and girls less, more artistically inclined. It's hard to say where it all starts, but whatever the result, whether you're talking about law enforcement or the IT field, they tend to be traditionally more male. And so Sarah's right, when you get down to subfields, they're going to be naturally dominated by more men.
Yeah. Do you see more females coming into the field, though? Because for me, you know, IT and computers seem to really be the field to be in at the moment. And if I was going to university now, even as a female, I'd be looking at my future and thinking what field would be best for me financially, for my family, and benefit me in the long run. And I would probably look at the IT field because it is such a stable field at the moment, and it doesn't seem as there's any sign of it letting up. And so do you see more females coming into the field because of, you know, going through university and just graduating? Or
this is Malia. I'd say that you know, I think that, I mean, I wasn't here at the very beginning of the real surgence of digital forensics, but I do think there are more coming into it. I would say, though, that kind of along the lines of why it's more male-dominated, I think part of that could be not just the IT-based, but even just retaining females in the field, I imagine, is a little bit more difficult, in some part because of the demanding nature. You know, an IT person can go in and still usually manage to work a 9-to-5 schedule, where I don't know what your guys' experience is. It's very rare that that's going to be the case all year round for a forensic investigator. And kind of along those same lines, even some of the more disturbing things that we come across, it can be harder for people to deal with. And I don't want to make a blanket assumption that males manage to deal with it better than females, but I do think that there is kind of a problem with retention of females in the field.
Yeah.
I think too that also that can go back to, this is Krista, going back to what women actually end up doing, and I know this is a problem across the board with female employment, that once a woman has a family, you know, she might make different choices in terms of staying home or going back to work or whatnot. But I mean, you guys have seen some of those disturbing things. I mean, what's your experience with? You know, when you have children or when you're around children, for example, is that something that would make you think twice or might make you think twice if you were so inclined? Because I'm thinking that might be part of the issue with retention there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, this is Stacey. Yeah, it does kind of make it a little, I mean, it's uneasy for anybody. I don't think it matters if you're male or female. I mean, nobody wants to work those kinds of cases. Nobody wants to do those kinds of things or see those kinds of things. But I guess it just kind of depends on the person's individual personality. I mean, some people are better at compartmentalizing certain things, and I mean, they'll look at it as, you know, it's just a job. This is something I need to do. I'll get through this case and then I'll start working on the next case. And it's just kind of a matter of how you deal with it.
This is Cindy. I think I would add to that. I think what it takes more than being male or female to work those kinds of cases is a certain resilience to your, a certain resilience. I mean, you have to have a resilient personality to be able to deal with those cases and to, number one, take a good hard look at the reality of child sexual abuse in the world, and number two, find a way not to internalize that, to look around you and see the risk for your own kids just absolutely everywhere, to the point where you where you overprotect your kids. So it is a balance, and I could see it driving some people out of the field, but frankly, once you've experienced it, it's not like you're going to forget it. You have to find other ways to deal with that reality.
And what about the time demands, you know, being away from family or traveling or, you know, all of the different parts as far as just how much time can sometimes be needed to do your job? Do you ever see people kind of, I don't want to say judging, but maybe wondering why a female is out spending so much time away from family with her work?
This is Cindy again. It's again a gender expectation thing, isn't it? That it's okay for men to be in that position and not for women. And maybe it's the reality of us being, at least at this point in history, the primary caretakers for children. But yeah, I certainly experienced it. It has an effect on your family, how much time, effort, and dedication you give to your job. But, I mean, if we go back to the cases again, once you've seen those cases, it's hard to turn off the fire that says that you want to make sure that the people who are responsible are held responsible. So it's a balancing act again.
Mm. I mean, somebody has to do the job, don't they? Mm-hmm. You know, or else people would get away with that, what, you know, those kind of things.
Yes, and somebody has to do the job so we know the reality of what's going on in the world, and yeah, so that we can start to fight the bigger problems too.
Yeah, definitely. I know with us, when Lee first started in the field, quite often he didn't tell me what he would see in the cases. I didn't want to know what he'd seen. But, you know, you would say, oh, I had a really bad case at work or this, that, whatever. And we got really protective with our children, probably overprotective with our children, to the extent I wouldn't even allow my daughter in the back garden in the summer in her swim costume. Like, she had to wear like a t-shirt because I was so afraid of what other people were doing. And it got to the point where I had said to him, you know, I don't want to know what's if you're working on a bad case, I don't want to know what kind of case you're working on. And I think that's probably where, as a mother, it would have been difficult for me if I had been in the field, and where what Krista had said might have made me end up once having children come out of the field. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
But I mean, that's me personally. And I commend each of you for being in the field, you know, all together.
This is Cindy. And I'll let Krista go in a second. It does make sense. And, you know, you either decide that it's a calling or that it's not for you. And if you decide that it's a calling, you have to be prepared to give up some things because of it.
Yeah.
You know, on the, on the backside of two divorces, I can't say that my job doesn't have anything to do with that. And I also can say that it will be really a long process for me to trust in order to move forward with the next relationship. But on the other hand, it's been an extremely fulfilling career for me. And
definitely,
if you want to think about the difference between men and women talking about this stuff, how many men would have just said that on a podcast?
Yeah. yeah, definitely. I think you're right. Exactly. I mean, because that's why for us, Lee looks at this every time. I know that, you know, he's done a bad case in the past. He's looked at it as like, you know, I'm pleased to be able to go to court to testify against these people if he's against them. And he feels like he's doing something good in the world. So if there's one less person, you know, one less bad person out there that could possibly harm our children in the future. But again,
this or anybody else's.
Yeah, or anybody else's. That's right. Exactly. Exactly. Krista, did you want to say something?
Well, I was going to bring up, you know, you were talking about how you don't necessarily want to know what kinds of cases that he's working on. And that it made me think in terms of a support structure for, you know, when you are dealing with bad cases, you know, who do you talk to? Who do you turn to? I mean, I know that you know, again, men tend to compartmentalize. And I think that, you know, and I know it's complex, Alicia, because, you know, you just said that, you know, Lee is happy to be able to go to court and testify against people. And, you know, I've seen you on social networks incredibly supportive of him. And so I'm, you know, I'm trying to, you know, is there a difference, I guess, between the way men ask for and receive support and the way women ask for and receive support, whether they're dealing with bad cases or whether they're just dealing with long hours? And I say that partly because I'm in the position of being the breadwinner for my family as a self-employed individual, which can be incredibly stressful sometimes. And there have been times, many, many, many times during the week when I feel guilty about not spending time with my children. You know, I'll express that to my husband and he'll say, well, you know, why are you worrying about it so much? You're the breadwinner. You need to do your work. You know, when it comes back to whether it's the hours or whether it's the emotional issues that come up, I think that's I don't know if you guys as forensicators have experienced different issues with support than your male counterparts or.
Sure. And maybe part of it is social expectations, too.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're internal expectations as much as social expectations. I mean, my children don't require me to be around any more or any less than they require my husband to be around. I mean, they give us equal amounts of crap for working. You know, but it's definitely, I guess what you put on yourself, in order to be able to perform, perhaps.
But Krista, the roots of what you put on yourself, come from the way you were raised and the way,
definitely. Yeah,
the way
definitely.
Society sees the roles of the genders. And, I mean, I would say, yes, there's a difference in the way we're supported. You know, I once expressed to my ex-husband that I was frustrated about a particular case and wanted to talk about it. And his answer was, why don't you stop doing this? And it's not a choice after the amount of investment and time you put into learning this stuff to just stop. I don't stop because I care about it. And you want to feel supported to do what you care about and yet have a support system in place that allows you to do that.
Maybe that's part of the difference, isn't it, though? Because as women, maybe we feel like we need to talk a bit more about, and I don't know, because, I mean, Lee's able to go, he can talk to his brothers in the field, so he's able to talk to him if he needs to, and he's got a really good support system. But maybe as women, an issue and a difficulty is that we do feel the need to talk about things and to be able to discuss them more than maybe what men generally do, you know, and the answer is, sorry, the answer to your ex-husband was just get out of the field, you know, something simple like that. I don't know. Malia, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, this is Malia. I was just going to say that one thing that I found is, and I think all of you have reiterated this, that it's important to have a support structure. In my experience, I found that the support structure tends to work best when it's not friends or family. I mean, I need them supporting, but when it comes to dealing with some of the things that I see, I think someone else mentioned, no one but other forensicators really understand kind of what you've gone through. And so having a support system within the field, whether it's, you know, just having coworkers that you can talk with, going to conferences and having other people, even though you can't really talk about specifics, just kind of being able to get it off your chest to someone else who knows about it. I found that to be the most useful support structure that that I've had.
Yeah, I would agree with that. This is Cindy again, and I think that's another reason why it's nice to see more women breaking into this field, because they probably will have a better feeling for what it's like to be a woman doing this work. I think we do have different experiences, and maternal instincts do have something to do with what we're experiencing when we see some of these images.
Yeah. Well, and what we'll do, I mean, it must be nice, you know, being on a podcast like this as well, knowing, and for other women in the field being able to listen to this, knowing that there's other women in the field that if they wanted to, they could, you know, seek you out and find you. And if that, you know, that support system is definitely there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, at the end, we can always give ways that people can get in contact with you. So what are some of the feminine characteristics of the work that you do then?
Well, this is Malia. I'll go ahead and jump in.
Yeah.
One of the things, and I don't know if this is a gender thing or if it's a personality thing, but just one thing that I've experienced is that, and again, maybe it's me, I love to write. I really enjoy putting together the reports and getting that information out. I've seen some other people in the field, you know, they love to do the investigation, but they don't necessarily like to actually put it down on paper as far as what they did or what the information was. And so, and maybe you guys can enlighten me as far as whether that's a feminine characteristic or not, or whether that's just me, but I do love the writing and communicating aspect of it.
Well, I can say, this is Sarah, that I'm the person who doesn't want to write it down. So I'm the anti you. I'd much rather do the analytical work and hire somebody to write my report. That would be awesome for me.
You guys should go into business together.
This is Cindy. I don't have any choice. I can't get anybody to do my police reports for me. I do like to write, and I like the organizational aspects to working large cases. Again, I don't know if that's a male thing or a female thing, but those two things, expressing what it is that I'm seeing in any particular case and organizing the case in a way that makes sense, breaking complex things down to their simplest parts and explaining concept things in simple terms, all of that is something that I love about this work.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. This is Stacey again. It's almost like you're working a puzzle and you're trying to figure out the solution to it. And I've always enjoyed doing puzzles as a little kid and everything. So, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily a female characteristic or what it is, but I think that also kind of plays a part in it. You're building in like little pieces. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, where you were saying you like to do them as a little kid, I'm just going to step in because I know Lee would say you still sound like a little kid, so you must still enjoy doing them. I'm just saying that because you said it on Twitter, so I have to pretend to be him, you know, with his wittiness and whatever. Sorry, I just had to throw it in.
I got to agree with Stacey on this one. I love doing puzzles too. I love, you know, putting the pieces together and trying to solve something. And if I can't solve it, it drives me crazy. I go absolutely mad.
And so this is Malia jumping in again. I think my thing, maybe I don't look at it so much as a puzzle as so much as a story that I'm trying to find, you know, you start finding bits and pieces and you're trying to fit it in to what's the overall story of what was going on. And maybe that's why I like the report, is because the investigation is going, okay, we're trying, you know, I'm trying to figure out what this was in this form. And then the report is actually putting that out and telling that story so that someone who's not as technical can understand it.
That's a really good explanation. Yeah, and so whether it's that women like to talk and communicate, or women are good organizers, or whatever, or whether it's, again, just that balance between the feminine and masculine traits that everybody has, I think this is a job where women can bring their talents to bear on the problem in some pretty unique ways. We also have really good imaginations and intuition. And, you know, maybe that's a stereotype, women's intuition, but I can read police reports and listen, you know, think about what is said in the police reports and have a certain amount of intuition about where I'm going to find evidence in any given computer. I don't go at every single one the same way.
Do you think that can also be a problem, though? I mean, if you're like drawing inferences about something or making assumptions, not that you're necessarily making assumptions about every case or whatever, but do you think that that could also be a problem?
You know, this is one of the big debates in digital forensics, isn't it? The question of neutrality versus knowing the case when you go in. And I think there's something to be said for both sides of it. And while I say I don't approach every single one in the same way, I do from a forensic standpoint, from a scientific standpoint. I'm just saying when I choose where to look, and I'm choosing based on some sort of intuition about the full story. And it's a process by which you think about what makes the most sense and follow that particular lead. It's, you know, every forensic examination is an investigation in and of itself. And in order to do an investigation, you need to start by gathering all of the information you can to bring it to bear on the problem at hand. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it could get to be a problem if all you were doing was relying on your intuition. I'm just saying it's one of the tools that I use in my work. So far, it's been very successful. I think people are less successful at forensics when they have no clue about what was happening with the computer, because you start with a, you know, 2, 4, 6 terabyte mystery march through hell. Oops, I was the first to swear. You hear what I'm saying, though, right? What am I looking for? You know, what kind of case was this? And there are those fishing trips that you get assigned to that can be just a complete waste of time if you don't know where you're supposed to start. And supposed to is really not the right way to say that, if you don't have any idea where to start.
Right, just trying to track down what lead you're going to go after first, instead of just, I'm going to talk to this person, or I'm going to do this first, and not right, really have any kind of idea.
Or willy-nilly going through, you know, this looking in this particular place in the registry helped me in my last case, so I'm going to do it in this case, or here's a recipe by which I do forensics. Forensics by recipe doesn't particularly work well.
Yeah, not at all.
Definitely not. I completely agree.
Yeah, you know, we agree on that because we're doing the work, but there are people who would like to come up with a recipe for doing forensics, aren't there? I mean, it's something I've seen in some training classes.
I wish every case was the same.
And I wish everybody used their computers in exactly the same way. Then maybe we could come up with a recipe.
That would be helpful.
Right. Has anybody else got anything else you want to discuss? Anything you want to talk about?
Lee's well, wondering. I'm still interested in how everybody came into the field and how long they've been in the field, because there are so few women in the field, and I haven't, to my knowledge, come across any of you guys in person except Krista, which and I'd love to meet everybody. We should have a drink sometime.
Absolutely.
So next question is, what kind of companies do each of you work for? Do you work law enforcement, or do you work for private companies? Do you subcontract the work in for, you know, for the government? What kind of things, what kind of background do you have as well? I think people might be interested in finding, in hearing that information as well. Anybody want to jump in first? Right, Cindy. Would you like to start us off?
This is Cindy. I work in law enforcement, and I've been in law enforcement since I was 18 years old. I started as a military police officer in the Army and was in the military for 3 years before going to the Department of Veterans Affairs and being a federal cop for 3 years. And I've worked for the city of Madison for the last 20 years. My 20th anniversary will be August 12th, coming up very shortly.
Fantastic. Anybody else? Malia, what kind of company do you work for?
I currently work for a private company. Before being here, I was actually a contractor to the military in Iraq, where I worked doing media exploitation. Basically just pretty much the same thing that we do here. It was just for intelligence purposes. So it's definitely some fun stories, but I won't bore you with them right now.
And what about Stacy? What about you?
I work for a private company, and before this, I was actually in college for 7 years. Started out doing psychology, and then moved, transferred schools, then did crime scene investigations for a couple years, graduated from that, and then went on to do computer forensics, digital forensics for 3 years in college, and then got the job where I am now. So I'm kind of new in the field, but it's been great learning from everybody and trying to absorb as much information as I can in the past few years.
Fantastic. And Sarah, what about you? I think you can go next.
All right. I am a government contractor. I work primarily intrusion cases, counterintelligence, counterterrorism type cases. Fortunately, none of the child exploitation, those do not come up very much for me. I've been working in the field for approximately 8 years, and I started right out of college. So I have an IT background, but went straight to forensics.
Krista, would you like to tell us how you became involved in digital forensics?
Well, I don't know how many of you know, I was a trade journalist for a number of years, and I was covering law enforcement. I had a, I don't know if you want to call it a law enforcement background since I was only a police explorer, but I did that for 4 years between high school and college, and then, you know, I was working in the computer support industry, and never, I guess law enforcement never really left my system. Because when I decided to get into freelancing, that was the field that I felt I had the most comfort, that I was most comfortable with covering. And so I started working for the law enforcement magazines. And then the deeper I got into that, because of my computer support background, they had me working on a lot of articles that had to do with technical topics, high tech and so on. And through that was the first few articles that I worked on that had anything to do with digital forensics had more to do with mobile phone forensics, because back in 2003, not many people knew much about it. And the law enforcement magazines were just starting to catch on that this might be something they needed to pay attention to. And so I had the benefit of interviewing people that were involved in HTCIA, the Sacramento Valley High Tech Crimes Task Force, and so on, that sort of sparked my interest. And then I came back to it. I took a little bit of time off when I had my second child, and then when I came back to it, the first article that I had waiting for me was about cell phone forensics. And so you know, shortly after that, I decided to go full-time into public relations and work with companies that were supplying digital forensic software and hardware to law enforcement and also to private companies. Was that really long-winded?
No, that's fantastic.
It was perfect.
It was really good, really good. I was going to ask if you would ever consider, I mean, you know quite a lot about the forensics field, doing what you do. Would you ever consider taking a jump maybe from doing the PR aspect of it into actually doing the work of it?
I don't think so, because, first of all, I really enjoy writing stories. You know, and we had a short conversation. I think it was Stacy, was it you that said you really liked writing? Or is it Sarah?
I think it was Sarah.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't me.
No, Sarah hated it.
It wasn't me.
No, It was Stacey. I really enjoy writing, and I think also I've invested so much time and energy over the last 2 years in particular, getting to know PR and marketing, and then the previous 10 years before that, with journalism, that it just. I don't know that I would necessarily want to switch gears and start learning about something entirely new.
Yeah.
It just, especially where I am in my life right now, it doesn't seem like quite the right fit. I wouldn't ever close the door on an opportunity like that, but I don't think it's quite, it may be a personality thing, but I think it's probably not for me.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I think that also because there are so few people that, in fact, I'm the only public relations person that I know of covering the industry. Yeah. I've met PR people that do security. They specialize in security. And I've met PR people, obviously, that specialize in IT, but nobody who's ever specialized specifically in digital forensics. And so I think that that's something that especially the smaller companies really need, that now I just – realize that I'm probably going to encourage more competition for myself, but that's okay.
But as well, you've just given yourself a lot of companies will now know where to turn to.
Well, I hope so. And, especially, again, the smaller companies, the solo shops that are providing consulting services, that they will actually do the examinations, either that or they're subcontracting and they're trying to find ways to find more contracts. I think that, that they need ways to communicate what they can do, and they're not, being technically inclined, they may not be communicators. And so, that's something that I think I can work with them on.
And this is Cindy Murphy talking. We go back to the concept of collaboration and women. I haven't hired Krista, but Krista has looked over stuff that I've written, white papers and articles and whatnot, before it's gone out. And I really appreciated the help she's given me just to make sure that things are ready to go live.
Yeah, definitely. So going back then to the individual fields that you work in, having the military background, because I think Cindy and Malia, both of you said you had a bit of military background. Is that correct?
Yes. This is Malia. I was not in the military. I was contracting, so I was embedded. I was the only civilian in our shop. I was surrounded by military people.
Right.
So I wouldn't claim being a military person myself, but I definitely learned a lot from them and have a deep respect for what they do and what I learned from them.
Yeah. Well, Cindy, how do you feel? Do you feel that that helped to prepare you for what you're doing now? Did it in any way?
I mean, I think it certainly gave me a good idea of how to work as a female in a male-dominated field.
Yeah.
And it also was the very beginnings of my career as a police officer. And so even back then I was sort of cutting my teeth on the concepts of investigations. I think the military is a great place to start. And there are a lot of fantastic forensicators who Rob Lee is going to love this program because we are using that term everywhere, but there, we've brought it into the common vernacular, at least for this conversation.
I think he owes each of you a coin for
does.
Using it.
I've already got mine.
All right.
I've already got mine, but yeah, there's a lot that the military has brought to the world of forensics, as a side effect of being out there on the front field of protecting our country, our countries. And so I think it's a great resource for us, but also a good place to start.
Yeah, definitely. So how would you, for somebody who's looking to get into the field, a female who's looking to get into the field, what would each of you, have you got any words of advice or anything you would say to somebody specific about that?
This is Cindy. Go ahead. I don't have to go first every time.
This is Stacey. I was just going to say that for anybody that's looking to even get into the field, whether they be male or female, just stay persistent with it. I mean, it's very challenging, and when you start learning about the different areas that you need to look for information and things, it doesn't necessarily come as second nature to everybody. So definitely just keep with it and keep trying to learn as much as you can, and eventually someday it'll click for you and you'll actually get to understand it and get to be, I mean, really motivated and really want to learn as much as you can about it.
This is Malia. I just kind of wanted to add something to Stacey's because I thought it was really great. Sorry, Cindy, to jump in before you.
Fine.
I just want to say, kind of along the lines of staying persistent, I think it's incredibly important to stay humble. I think it's very easy because we do have a lot of specialized knowledge. Every now and then, I come to a point where I'm like, hey, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I've really, really made it. That's when I get the 2x4 to the head going, wow, there's so much more that's out there because the field is always changing. So one of my words of wisdom would be to stay humble and to learn from as many different sources as you can, you know, filter through it, decide what you agree with, do your own testing and all of that, of course, but just keep learning all the time.
Absolutely. This is Cindy. Both of those points are fantastic ones. You know, respect what you don't know. My dad always said, pride goeth before a fall. That's really true in this field. And stay curious. That's the other thing. Don't decide that because you've learned a lot of things in digital forensics that you know everything you need to know. Keep on learning. Keep on growing. Keep on moving forward. And maybe we'll sort of keep up with technology.
It takes everybody, doesn't it? Everybody's, you know, you have to continue to do research. And like you said, Cindy, there's so much that people just don't know. We just don't know. And somebody's going to have to look into it and figure out how to, you know, do the next best thing. And so, like you said, constantly staying with it, I must imagine, would be really, really important.
Yes, and the whole concept of collaboration, which women tend to be really good at, not to say that men aren't, but we like to share our new ideas and our silly thoughts about how things might work.
Yeah.
You know, and work together to solve problems, and so I think that collaborative nature is really important for this field as a whole, because it does change so fast. I mean, Krista mentions 2003 and cell phones and how many people weren't doing them, but we're still with cell phones really on the frontier as far as forensics is concerned. And there's so much more to learn about not only cell phones, but digital forensics and network forensics as well. And so when you learn something, share it. because you might save somebody a whole lot of time and effort. If they find the same thing works that you tried, then they validated your methods. And so collaboration works really well all the way around in this field.
Right. And I would also add to that, don't be afraid to ask for help. If there's something that you don't understand, I mean, nobody knows everything there is to know about computers or any kind of digital media or evidence. Don't be afraid to ask for help, because there's somebody that's either done research in it or somebody else is interested, and you might be able to work with them and collaborate and do some of your own testing and figure certain things out.
I just wanted to make the point that networking is very important, and you should be able to, you know, whatever you can afford, whether it's just an email list or if it's a conference or training class, is to meet the people. You know, I've been in training classes with a bunch of guys, but, you know, if you go ahead and, you know, you're not the shy girl in class, go ahead and meet these guys and get into the field.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And don't be afraid to talk to the guys who are your heroes, guys and gals who are your heroes, because, I mean, I think people build reputations in this field, and all of a sudden, people think, well, I don't want to ask that question. It's going to sound silly, or I'm in awe of somebody, and therefore I don't want to look like I don't know anything. ask the question anyway, get to know the people, you know, the Harlan Carvey and Rob Lee and Brian Carrier and all of these people that have fantastic reputations. They have those reputations for a reason. Reach out, talk to them. There's a lot of really friendly, great people in this business.
I want to add to that too, because it's not just, it's not just the forensicators that will find that. I mean, even as a journalist PR person reaching out to, you know, you, Cindy, and Harlan, and Rob, and so forth, that that they've been very open and very accepting of me, you know, even though I ask really basic questions. I think that the thing that they value and respect the most is when you're taking the time to do the research, and that you're showing that you're willing to learn as much as you can until you hit the wall, and then, you know, you're out there asking questions. That's what they really respond to most, and what they seem to appreciate. So, and I'm very very appreciative of them being so forthcoming. Even though they're busy, they're very, very busy, but they do make time when you're asking the right questions.
Thank you, each of you, for being on today. Before we wrap up, I was just going to say, does anybody want to give their Twitter handle? Do they, if they feel comfortable? I mean, it might be helpful to other females in the field to be able to follow you on Twitter, or, I mean, other people, men in the field listening to this podcast might think, whoa. Really, you know, they really know a lot, you know, that Cindy is fantastic. I want to follow her on Twitter, or, you know, Sarah was brilliant. She was so good. So, I mean, do you, if you feel comfortable, we'll go through on my screen is Stacy first. So Stacy, if you want to give your Twitter handle, you're welcome to do that.
Sure. It's at @forensicswoman, which is the number 4, the letter N, number 6, and then woman.
Fantastic. Krista, do you want to give yours?
Sure. It's at Krista, C-H-R-I-S-T-A, M as in Mary, M as in Mary, I-L-L-E-R.
Okay.
So Krista M. Miller with 2 M's.
And Krista, I believe you've got a blog as well, haven't you? Do you want to tell us where we can find your blog at?
Yep. It's KristaMMiller.com/blog.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cindy?
I'm at Cindy Murph, M-U-R-P-H, and I'm also on LinkedIn. I'm not on Twitter a whole lot because my life's just too busy for that, but I get on when I can, and I like to joke with everybody else, so.
Fantastic. Malia, do you want to give yours?
You know, I'll give my professional LinkedIn account.
That's fantastic.
It's Malia, M-E-L-I-A, .Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y. @fadv.com is the email that should help you find me on LinkedIn, or just Malia Kelly.
Fantastic. And Sarah, do you want to give your information?
Sure. My Twitter handle is @IamEvilTwin. That's I am evil twin. That's evil without the I.
Fantastic.
Somebody else had that.
And can we just talk about the number of twins in forensics for a minute?
Lee told me to say, you know, I'd like to introduce the Edwards twins, even though you're not related, but he did say to do that.
She is my internet.
Think it's cool.
We would technically be triplets because Sarah is already a twin.
Yeah, that's right.
And we would be quadruplets because I'm already a twin.
Yeah, there that's you
true.
Go.
I feel so left out now.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. Thanks to each of you for being on this episode this week. And it's been fantastic to talk to each of you and to learn a little bit more about how you feel about the, you know, women in the field and how you feel about the forensics field in general. I think it'll be really a fantastic listen for other people. I've really enjoyed, you know, hosting this episode as well. So thanks again.
Thank you, Alicia.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alicia. It was fun.
Brilliant. Right. Take everybody. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Forensic Forecast. You can find Lee on Twitter at Lee_Whitfield. And you can find the Forensic Forecast blog at forensicforecast.com. Right. Thanks for listening and take care. Lee just rocked. He's such a dork.
Hey, that's Fosley.
Oh, he just wrote down, what cool fashionable bags do you keep your cool Friendzicator gear in?
So, I just bedazzle my pelican case.
I'll ask that question at the very end.
To give me a lethal communicator coin. That's what I'm waiting for.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Disc Labs, offering a range of services such as forensic data recovery, digital forensics, and certified data erasure. Find out more at disclabs.com.